Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The king of all media, Anthony Herron. Are you okay with that title?
I'll accept it for tonight, yeah.
What about thanks? Is he going to come back?
We went off the rails and I'm good with it. I seriously have been using What About Thanks as a plot device, and I'm so glad that I get to know more score lore now.
John Thanks is a lying son of a...
Anthony Herron and Layla Rahimi on 670 The Score.
Shy City, what's happening? For the better part of the next 3 hours, we will be your voice here on 670 The Score. As Big Voice Guy referenced, I'm Anthony Herron. Alongside, I suppose that fits digitally, virtually, alongside the lady herself, Layla Rahimi, for someone who is I suppose, in transition at the moment. You are seemingly everywhere. You're certainly all over The Score here in recent days, and a lot of folks are genuinely excited about that, chief amongst them me, because you and I have gotten to interact a bit over the years here in the industry, in the city, but 3 hours of consecutive sports chat between Rahimi and Herron. This is going to be some new ground that we are breaking today, and I'm here for it. I'm very excited to do this with you today.
Yes, I am too, and I love your intro. I know that was courtesy of Sierra Santos, who I used to also work with. So it's funny how that stuff works out. But no, right. I appreciate The Score and everybody giving me an outlet, because everybody knows I talk too much. So apparently people are still okay with that. And yeah, we went off the rails on Friday. It was me and Dan Bernstein, but it was a really good time. So I'm happy to be on. As the promo says, what a time, but I'll finish it in the classic hip-hop fashion, to be alive. And this is going to be fun, Ant.
No doubt, no doubt. We've got plenty to get into on the show today. Of course, it relates to sports right here in the city of Chicago, where things sit with the Bears, where things sit with the Cubs, as we'll be leading into Sunday Night Baseball with the Cubs on national television tonight. And at whatever point, we'll see when, if the Sox game comes to its dramatic conclusion. But love to hear Layla's thoughts on what's happening with the Chi Sox there on the South Side as well. So I have plenty of that to get into later on in the show. Some great guests that we have lined up for today as well. Lee Steinberg, super agent. You may know him as the motivation behind the character Jerry Maguire from the movie, I guess the movie's old enough now where maybe there's folks who haven't seen it who perhaps aren't familiar with it, but it's hard to think that there's many sports fans who haven't seen it. But Lee Steinberg was actually the motivating character, the person who Tom Cruise based Jerry Maguire off of. So we'll talk to Lee coming up later in the show here. Also, Tony Andracki, Chicago Cubs beat reporter from the Marquee Network, talks in baseball with Tony. And now that the Bears roster is set, the 53-man active roster for the Chicago Bears is aligned for the moment. I mean, there's always extra stuff that could happen, transactions that could take place. We know they've even added Mario Edwards to the defensive front here today. We'll be able to get into that later on in the show with Patrick Finley of the Chicago Sun-Times, one of my favorite sports reporters, favorite sports writers in the city. Because there's one thing, and I don't know if you've noticed it at any point over the years, Layla, but when you're just like viewing interviews, and a lot of times sports writers are great at writing, they're not always great at necessarily posing questions. And I think Patrick actually does a really good job of that when you're watching him or listening to him via interviews, whether he's talking to Matt Nagy or other folks. And he's just got a good energy about him as well. So we'll talk to Pat Finley later on in the show also. And there'll be some Bears sound that we'll be able to play for you folks listening out there throughout the show today, because they're going to address the assembled media. It will be Matt Nagy and both QBs, because I suppose at the moment, unless I missed something on Twitter, I guess the Bears haven't necessarily made it officially official yet that the Mitch Trubisky is the guy. But of course, that is public knowledge with all the sourced sorcerers who are out there that we do know Mitch Trubisky is anticipated to be the starting quarterback for your Chicago Bears. So there'll be plenty to discuss. And as the Bears wrap up their media availability with Matt Nagy, with Mitch Trubisky, with Nick Foles, we'll bring some of that sound to you after that happens. We'll get to that later on in the show as well. But one thing I'm genuinely looking forward to, we're going to play a little game on the show today, Layla. We're going to do something that just occurred to me because of the fact that you've been in this city for a handful of years now. You've been providing spectacular coverage of the sports scene in and around Chicago. And right now, I see it in your mentions on social media. I know how folks react to you. I know how well folks receive the work that you do. So a lot of folks are like, hey, don't leave. Don't go, Layla. Or come back, Layla. All those types of things. And at this point, it's almost like you've been enveloped into the bosom of the city as a genuine Chicagoan. So I'm just curious how Chicago you are at this point. So we're going to play a little game called How Chicago Is Layla later on in the show and just get a sense for what you've picked up in your time here in the city. Are you game for that?
I am absolutely game for it. And yeah, I appreciate everybody tweeting at me, and I'll say it again. I did not leave myself. So for everybody asking me to come back, I did not go anywhere. These things happen, especially in corporate America across the country over the past 6 months. So thanks for hanging. Thanks for wanting me in town. These aren't my decisions, but I will do the best I can. And yeah, this ought to be fun. I'm hoping that, do I get to like add consonants into like names and words where they don't actually appear? That was one thing I noticed when I first moved here. Like, obviously Trubisky, Trubinsky, or then like collegiant. I'm like, what? This is a thing. That was a fascinating thing for me to discover.
And there's no good reason for it. There's certainly not a lot of rhyme to how I guess the Chicago dialect, the Chicago accent, if you will, how that ends up working out with what things do or don't roll off the tongues of people in this city very effectively. But yeah, I mean, feel free to do that depending on what the subject matter is that we go into. I got a series of questions lined up for you when we get to that point later on in the show here. So yeah, we'll have that opportunity for you to see. I mean, if you just want to get into your Chicago bag, start trying to apply a Chicago accent here or there. It's not something I do very well. Like my wife is from New England. Fortunately for both of us, I guess she doesn't have one of those Boston accents, because I think it really would have hampered the potential growth of our relationship if she had that Boston slang, because that's just it's not a very appealing accent. But I do that one okay.
I love it though.
Oh, I really don't. There is some rhyme, like you add R's where they don't belong and you take R's out where they should be. So that one I at least can get my mind wrapped around. The Chicago accent is one that I've never really perfected it, and I don't know how it makes any sense. But I don't know if you want to regale us with that over the next 3 hours, feel free. I don't think folks would mind.
I always laugh because everywhere I've moved, which unfortunately is a lot of places now, and I'm hoping isn't another one in my travels, I try to replicate the accent, and you end up absorbing some of it anyway, just because you lived there.
Yeah,
Philly was the toughest. Philly was the biggest challenge. I can still do a Philly accent. Boston, I think, is awesome because I'm from Texas, as a lot of people know, so I find it fascinating. I also liked being called Layler. I thought it was endearing. And then, of course, Texas, and then I can slip into the SoCal accent, too, because everything just goes up at the end. But nobody
everything sounds
nobody
like a question.
Probably wants to hear me sound like a Kardashian for the rest of the show. But, yeah, the Chicago one, I think, is pretty easy, but I think I over-exaggerate it and turn it into Minnesota. So I have to kind of watch out. I will say this. I did not know the correct term for kitty corner was kitty corner until I moved here. I always thought it was catty corner because that's what they say where I'm from.
Okay. I didn't know that was a thing. So is that specific to Chicago, or is it just something that Texas tends to mess up?
No, Texas, I think you learn it the wrong way. Like, I thought it was catty corner. And I talked about this to a buddy who works at another sports outlet, and he's from New Orleans. And he and I worked together in Houston, and I was like, yo, dude, what's up with this kitty corner stuff? And he was like, well, clearly that's wrong. And I'm like, let's go to the internet. So then we go to the internet. We find out we are wrong. So I'm learning all sorts of stuff in my time here.
You know what got me? And I don't know if this is specific to Chicago or not. For me, I always pronounced it with Reese's Cups. I always called it Reese's Cups. Like, that was what it always was as a kid. I'd never had anyone correct me about it as an adult. Everybody around me in my life, in my inner circle, in my outer circle, I thought everybody referred to it as Reese's. I thought it was Reese's Cups, Reese's Pieces, Reese's whatever. And then I was on the Pac-12 network. I was doing studio on Saturdays, and I was reading a promo. It was like the Reese's, well, it was supposed to be the Reese's Go for Two, and that was the sponsored element when somebody was attempting a two-point conversion. And I'm sitting there, I'd spend the whole first couple segments of the show, like first half hour or whatever, back to back. Okay, this team went for two, that team went for two. Reese's, go for two. And then eventually, my executive producer, he didn't even like say it in my ear. He was, you know, just kind of back in the control room, just kind of evaluating everything. He literally came into the studio, just kind of leaned over and kind of whispered to me, like, hey, do you know that, do you recognize you're actually pronouncing it Reese's? are you aware that you're doing that? Like, yeah, what's the problem? That's the sponsor of two-point conversion. What's the problem? Well, yeah, it's the possessive. It's Reese's Cups. No. I don't think that can be right. I think you might want to revisit that. I'm not sure if you're – I mean, it's always been Reese's Cups my whole life. No. The sponsors pointed that out. They recognized it. They observed it, and they would like us to make sure that's accurate.
Oh, no.
Okay. My bad, boss man. All right, from here on out, it is Reese's, the Reese's Go for Two Challenge. So that was my correction. I actually got at a commercial break at some point. That was a big thing that stood out to me that I had no idea I was messing that up at all times. So yours was Catty Corner. Mine was Reese's. What do you call them?
Yeah, definitely. I call them Reese's, but I'll post this article on Twitter. It always cracks me up. It's an article that came out, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, and it talks about all the differences in the regional dialects.
Okay.
And they color code it, and it's stuff like pecans and crawdads and things. Like, it depends on where you're from as to how you say it. So that definitely falls into that category. You are not the first person I've heard say Reese's.
Oh, no. And I got to check myself on it every single time I'm getting ready to reference it. Like, even for my son, we've kind of take a little jog at the end of the night before we come home sometimes and do dinner, and I'll have a little treat here and there or something special, like, all right, let's do a Twix tonight, or let's do a, you know, Almond Joy or whatever. And there was one night where we did Reese's Cups. He had a cup, I had a cup, and I had to check myself, like, all right, I don't want to start him as a two-year-old saying this incorrectly, because it's going to be wrong for the rest of his life, like it's been with me for my entire life. So I was very careful to make sure I was pronouncing it the way it's supposed to be pronounced. But then I don't know, maybe he'll be the weirdo in class who isn't saying it like everybody else is saying it.
Well, hold on.
That'll be one. Yes?
There's candy at your house every day. Who cares about how they pronounce it? That's amazing.
You know what? My vice that I've recently, just for this month, because my birthday comes up towards the end of this month, so I decided I'm going to go ice cream free for like the latter stage of August. I haven't had any ice cream maybe a week and a half or something like that. I'm going to go all the way through my birthday on September 24th, going ice cream free for a full month. And for me, that's a huge deal. Like, I don't have a lot of vices, but my big vice is the combination of cake and ice cream. So I didn't swear off cake, but I have sworn off ice cream just to give myself a month. I suppose it would be an ice cream cleanse, if that's a thing.
Ice
if it's not,
cream
I'm just going to make it a thing. I'm going to go a good month ice cream free, because for me, like at the end of the night, I can have, whether it's a bowl, a full pint. And I'm talking like I'm about to lay in the bed and shut it down. Not even like, hey, you know, we're watching TV at the end of the evening, I'm going to be awake for a couple more hours. I will down a full pint and then immediately close my eyes. And that's just not what you're supposed to do to your system. But that's my vice. I'm an ice cream guy. As far as actual candies, not so much, but specific to just kind of running up Michigan Avenue or like jogging through Grant Park, it's something that's easy to throw in my pocket. So I'll go and stop and grab a little chocolate treat here and there, just to kind of, you know, let the two-year-old have, you know, just for us to have a little moment. We'll go up into the park. We'll sit at the top of the stairs, watch the trains go by or something before we kind of come back home and get ready to shut it down for the evening. So my candy intake is kind of specific to moments like that, but there's always ice cream in the house. That is usually a constant. But for the moment, I'm going to take this month off and go ice cream free, at least until the birthday comes up. Then from there, I'm probably just going to get back to normal. So, yes, an ice cream cleanse is now a thing. Anyone out there who's done other types of cleanses, I hope you had quality results from that. For me, the ice cream cleanse is what I'm in the midst of right now. I'm about a week and a half into it. So far, so good. Hopefully, I can last the remainder of the month. Have you participated in things of that sort? Do you do like cleanses or different types of diet distractions or anything to kind of keep yourself the way you want to feel?
First of all I heard you just say for the last 2 minutes was something, something, something. I have an athlete metabolism and these are my problems. And happy early birthday to you. And then you proceeded to talk about how you don't have to cut out on all of the sweets, just ice cream for the moment in order to lose a significantly satisfying amount of weight. I think everybody hates you. So,
just for a
but
brief
happy
stretch.
Early birthday.
Just no, taking a respite from ice cream. Yeah.
Are you kidding me? No, I have the metabolism of a sloth. Like, and I was working in television where, you know, if you gain 2 pounds,
right,
y'all on the text line or whoever you want to call yourselves will let me hear about it. So, like, no, I can't, like, if I eat, like, 5 extra Wheat Thins, I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, I'll be paying for that later. Like, no, Aunt, no. I don't get to just cut out, like, I don't get to just cut out ice cream and lose 5 pounds. That is not how this works.
Well, I have the ability to layer up before I go on the air, too. You know, I got the shirt, got the jacket, got the tie. So, you know, you don't necessarily get to perhaps see as much from the male anatomy, let's call it, when we're on television. We have to dress up as the position that women tend to find themselves in. So that's
I don't know a lot of grown men who can just cut out ice cream and then they're like, yeah, I lost weight from just ice cream, but I'm still eating cake and other candies. Like, it's just tremendous. I love it. Like,
that's the thing. I don't even know that I'm going to lose any weight.
You guys are superhuman.
Just a little challenge, I suppose. Just want to test myself. I've never said, let's go a month without ice cream.
Most people go on a juice cleanse. A lot of people talk about keto. I just try to be reasonable about it, and I'm not always reasonable, but I try. And it's like, oh, I'll just cut out this slight portion of the diet. I'll go from 3,000 calories today to 2,700, and I'll lose 2 pounds by the end of the week. Amazing.
That's
amazing.
The hardest thing, though, because you get used to eating a certain way when you're still an athlete, and you're accustomed to being able to do it because you burn so many calories on a daily basis. And then when you turn into a civilian and your world is different and you gotta start eating like a mortal. And it's not always the easiest thing to do to have like a human diet regimen. So I must admit there are times where my portions are still abnormal along those lines. But I try to keep that in mind when I'm, you know, especially if I know, because most nights I'm going to have that craving at the end of the evening. Like I mentioned, that's my vice. But when it comes down to it, I at least try to make sure throughout the rest of the day I'm eating like a normal person, because I know I'm going to have that crave at the end of the night.
I hate to break it to you. You're still eating like an athlete. I mean, we love it. We want to hear all about it because some of us can't. But yeah, that's still pretty tremendous.
So far, so good. We'll see up to this point. Maybe there's some adjustments I'll end up making before too long. That's what this ice cream cleanse will be about, I suppose. We'll see if my body adjusts in any way based off my ice cream cleanse. Any other cleansers out there, feel free to give us a ring at 312-644-6767. If there are things that you're into that you're perhaps giving up, who knows? Maybe it'll be like for me, maybe it'll be, you know what? I'm not going to eat ice cream until the Big Ten actually takes a football snap, because there's still all kinds of rumors going on from there. You still got POTUS tweeting about that all over the place. So who knows? Maybe I'll just use that as additional motivation just to see what ends up happening with my conference.
I will say this. I usually give up sweets for Lent, and that's usually a good idea. And I somewhere along the way, I will try to break camp. And then I'm like, no, that is not the point of this. So it's usually sweets. One time I tried to give up cursing for Lent, and that was a massive, massive failure.
All right. Yeah,
I won't use those words on the air because I don't want to get like.
I was going to say, I mean, you know, if you just wanted to test something out, I could just kind of lay out and see where things were going to go here. I wasn't, you know, 100% sure what was about to come. Are you going to give an example or two?
No, this is normal time, Anthony, here, and I don't have to give up anything right now.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. But like I mentioned, 312-644-6767 is the phone number to give us a call. Get involved in not only dietary discussion, but certainly we will be getting into things with the Bears, with the Cubs. The roster is set for them. These baseball teams in the city, especially on the South Side, continuing to roll at this point. It's interesting, and to be able to get Layla's perspective on baseball in town will be doubly great on the show today because of the depth that she's covered these teams in. But the record itself between the two squads, not all that different, but obviously the execution, the perception, very different with what's going on right now, and especially in the age of COVID with the abbreviated season these baseball squads have going on. Really curious, because I haven't gotten to hear specifically from you just how you evaluate the athletic world in the age of COVID right now. We've seen some outbreaks in baseball. They've powered through. The season continues. Looks like, all right, there's a great shot the season not only will commence, but we'll be able to get through to the finish line here without bubbles throughout like the NBA and the NHL have gone to. So plenty of great discussion to be had there. But here at the top of the show, because the Bears have set their final lineup, they've got their 53-man roster together, and there will be some Bears sound to come. You know what? Let's take a timeout. We'll come back, get into some Bears talk here, and specifically some things I'd like to share related to my worries, my concerns about the squad this season, and a few things that I do feel good about as well, because that's where I think a lot of folks' minds are at with this team. Without being able to see the Bears on the field during the preseason and evaluate what's happening with the quarterbacks, this would have been the first opportunity to really see the starters play a lot during the preseason games, and that didn't happen, obviously, because the NFL ended up calling those four preseason games off. But there's still a lot to discuss with the Bears, because 1 week from this point, we would pretty much be on the way into the fourth quarter of Bears versus Lions right now, and we'll have the opportunity to really get that first look at what the squad is like in a game setting. So we'll take a timeout right now. We'll come back and get into some Bears talk here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I'm Anthony Heron on Twitter, at Big Ant Heron. You got Layla Rahimi on Twitter, at Layla Rahimi. Great guests we referenced on the show today. Lee Steinberg, Tony Andracki, and Patrick Finley will be coming up later on. You can also text us in addition to calling us at 312-644-6767. That is the same number to reach us on the text line as per usual. Timeout. Bears talk on the way here. Rahimi and Heron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
For us, we just need to be able to, again, go back and watch the tape to remind ourselves of the stuff that we thought we saw. And again, you always start with decision-making and accuracy. And then there's, in our opinion, too, there's situational football involved. So those are probably the top three that we look at. And then how did they perform in training camp? How did they handle certain situations? And again, both of them we thought did well. So I know it probably is frustrating in hearing things sound somewhat gray. I completely understand that. But again, it's not easy.
I'm sure Bears coach Matt Nagy, who you heard from right there, that was from the other day when they addressed the assembled media via Zoom. But I'm sure he and Ryan Pace would have preferred it was easy, I guess. You know, if there was really, if one of the quarterbacks was just out there lighting it up on the practice field to the extent where it was just an obvious choice, where you just knew this has to be the dude. There is no way we could take the field if it's not with this young man behind center. That just wasn't what materialized. I went out and checked out camp a little bit, and you know, for me, just putting my own eyes on it in person, it's pretty much what, at least from what I saw. And I think the commentary so far, even from Matt Nagy about the quarterbacks, hasn't necessarily led anyone to think that he's been blown away either. But we will have more sound today, sound from Bears coach Matt Nagy before we leave you here just after 5 o'clock, before the Cubs take the field on Sunday Night Baseball against the Cardinals. I'm Anthony Heron, joined by Layla Rahimi, the name, the voice that you know well, the face here in the Chicago sports scene for the last handful of years. And we were talking in the first segment about the fact that we're going to get into some Bears topics here. And Layla, because we're not having the ability to see them on the field, on a game field, in a game setting during the preseason, then I suppose a lot of it can be taken, you know, what we hear from Matt Nagy, what we've heard from Bears coaches, can be taken with a bit of a grain of salt because they're not necessarily going to badmouth anything that's happened with the players. We, you know, saw some examples of that, I think, probably extreme examples last year where a lot of us who went and checked out Bears camp were looking at Mitch Trubisky not playing well, but then still hearing Matt Nagy talking about how great he thinks Mitch was doing and how much he expected the offense to take a big leap forward and then, you know, get out there and game play and see what the offense is doing. It's like, oh, okay, that's what we were seeing in camp from the Bears offense against the Bears defense. The lack of preseason games where I was personally excited to watch Bears starters have, especially on offense, play a big role in preseason games to be able to evaluate them along those lines this year. Not being able to do that, does it in some ways, I suppose, add to the intrigue, you think, of the surprise we'll have as the actual regular season opens up a week from today? Or do you view it more through the lens of missed opportunities that the Bears would have had to try and continue improving?
Well, to me, and it speaks to what Nagy was saying regarding looking at game film, which is, I say game film, but in this case it's practice film, but I think you guys know what I mean when I say that. Just whatever tape they have on a field that you look at after the fact and say, what made this play good? What made this play bad other than what I saw initially? I compare it to last year, and simply because last year, I feel like, I don't want to say it's an excuse, but I think it's an easy place to go to where you're saying to the rest of the league, nah, dude, it's cool. It's a preseason. Everything's fine. Like, we got this. Right. You don't even need to see our starters. When really it could also be, we don't want you to see our personnel because we know that if you see this package, you're going to key in on it. We don't have the execution arm of that ready yet in order to say, here's who we're lining up with. We don't care if you know or not. We're going to get the job done. And I don't necessarily think that that's bad because, you know, as an athlete, sometimes you have to have some trickery in order to get the yards, and by any means necessary, you're going to get them. But the Bears needed reps, and you and I both remember that before all of this started, the idea was we are not going to do the same thing that we did last preseason. That didn't work. The whole nobody start anything did not work. Unless you're the New England Patriots, I really don't think it's a good idea. You would know better than I would, having played football. But to me, they needed to work together, and they needed those actual game reps, especially Mitch. How do you not say he doesn't need more reps? You don't. You don't.
Yeah. It was perplexing to me, even in Nagy's first season, for him to take that approach, and then last year to take that approach again after seeing what the offense was the year before. But, okay, you view it through the lens of, you know what, they went 12-4. And so for me, my commentary about it, I had to sort of put a little bit of a caveat on there. Like, you know what, I would prefer the starters were playing in the preseason here, but they did go 12-4 last year, so I'm going to leave them alone about it. So I was like, on one hand, I wasn't really leaving them alone about it, but I was at least referencing that last year, the season before, the 2018 season, went well despite the fact that the starters, especially on offense, didn't really do a whole lot during preseason activity. So there was something to be gained, in my opinion, this year based off of that. I think there's a couple of different things that are lost, as I see it, Layla, by the Bears not having their, you know, a standard NFL offseason. And if you want to add, anyone listening out there, what you think would perhaps be missed by the Bears and not having an offseason, not having these preseason games, give us a ring at 312-644-6767 is the way to reach us on the phone line there. Or you can feel free to text. The text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. But I'd say there's two things that stand out to me. One, specific to the quarterback, because Mitch Trubisky, obviously all the coverage that he's gotten over the years, he's been here as the Bears QB. I do think the offseason, if it was a standard offseason program with mini camps and OTAs and full training camp and preseason games, I do think, you know, in the end, he may have still ended up earning the starting job, which he's apparently done at this point. But in addition to just being the opening game starter, I do think that having the full offseason could have maybe given Mitch the potential, given him a chance to maybe show a bigger, a broader space between himself and who will now be Bears backup, Nick Foles. And in that, then maybe you get a longer leash. If you get into that first game and things just go okay against Detroit, now he's Detroit's the team he's lit up more than any other squad he's faced in the NFL up to this point in his career. But
yes, sir.
Through the first couple of games, though, maybe if you're not lighting it up, maybe you have a longer leash. Maybe you've proven more to the coaches to actually give more chance for you to sort of work into the season if Mitch would have had a full offseason to really try to get the coaches sold and bought in on the thought that he's this new improved Trubisky. In the end, the fact that that wasn't there, so now they'll essentially both be going into the opening game against Detroit with Mitch as the starter, but sort of in a way going in cold where, you know, Nick Foles, as far as gameplay, he'll have the same amount of perception and time spent with coaches that he had had before, as will Trubisky. So the advent of really enhancing the faith, the confidence the coaches would have in him, not only from the notion of thinking that he will perform well, but in thinking that he can recover from bad times, I think can end up being as important as anything for a quarterback in the position that Mitch is in, because they traded a fourth-round pick for Foles. He's not going to be the starter, but there's resources invested in Nick Foles, and there's also faith and confidence that's been stored up with relationships that Nick Foles has with other Bears offensive coaches. So those factors equate to, I anticipate, a fairly quick hook, a fairly, you know, quote-unquote short leash for Mitch Trubisky if he's not playing well very early in the season. And, you know, that's probably not even a bad thing, but just as an observation about what that offseason could have meant to Mitch, I think it could have meant perhaps building up more faith, especially with coaches on the staff who've been around Foles more than him with the new offensive guys, perhaps more faith that he could have had an opportunity to build up to stick with him through what will likely be some struggles here and there. I don't see where that's likely to be the case very long, because Mitch didn't even have a chance to try and build that up, especially when you factor in what his history has been as a Bears QB.
Yeah, I would agree with that wholeheartedly, especially you mentioned other Bears offensive personnel, and we're talking about people like John DeFilippo. And to me, it goes back to what is the goal of this season. And I'm going to compare it to the fact that a lot of Bulls fans, Jordan Malley, shout out, but a lot of Bulls fans held Garpax to the "we want to make the playoffs" goal that they set at Media Day last year. But the whole point is, if your goal is the playoffs and then to win in them, then Foles' resume becomes that much more magnified because you did not have a traditional NFL preseason. Then the hook to me becomes even that much shorter because you don't have the traditional NFL preseason. And I think Mitch Trubisky embraced what he could about what was happening in the offseason. We heard him, I think, for months. We heard people talk about his dedication, what he wanted to do, tried to practice with people as best he could in a virally sound way. But when you factor into me, and whether or not we want to admit it, the offense, I think, is going to be a little different just because you are bringing in these other coaches. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's going to be remarkably different. And you and I can get into that in a second. I think we both would like to see the Bears run the ball more.
I think that goes without saying. That part is remarkably different, yeah.
Which I think would buy Mitch Trubisky more time, by the way. That's the real piece of this to me that's frustrating. But if you're saying we want the playoffs, we think we can do it, we want to win in the playoffs, then signs would point to Nick Foles, especially given his experience and his playoff acumen, being somebody who you're gonna want playing quicker rather than later, if that's the goal. And you're right. I think that hook becomes much shorter for Trubisky, especially when you see the contrast of what has happened with the other quarterbacks who have been drafted. But I'm reading the headline about Deshaun Watson's contract extension, and I'm like, man, we'll get into Mahomes with the man who was the architect of that deal in a couple of minutes here. But you're just like, man, that is not happening here. That is not the case right now.
Not only have they not wanted to pick up, decided not to pick up Mitch's fifth year option, they even just announcing that he's the starter, they sort of just allow it to trickle out on a late Friday evening, basically. almost, kind of news dump time that we all think of Friday evening as, basically, Friday late afternoon. And they just allow that to sort of trickle out at that point where they're, it can't be a lot of public reaction or scorn about it. And, I suppose it lends itself to just how things have been handled to some extent with, early on and in some ways kind of shielding Mitch from the media. And then from there, like especially last season, trying to shower him with praise, trying to boost up the notion that he is the quarterback of the future here. And then, of course, everything that happened on the field did not end up supporting that thought process. And so now here we are where you've added and spent resources to bring in a guy who, like you're saying, Layla, has been a proven postseason commodity. But then you still got the regular season Nick Foles that hasn't always been impressive as well. And that's where, I have just in listening to the way that Matt Nagy has addressed things with the media, the fact that he hasn't been just effusive with his praise of either QB and certainly just not of the position in general. I do think it's at least, I suppose, just honest in, along his line of not necessarily trying to overstate what the offense has looked like or overstate what either quarterback has played like, because it just, not only has there not necessarily been a big difference between either guy, they've both had their moments, they've both had practices here or there, but certainly the differences that could be there are not highlighted in the stretch that both are equally lighting it up. It's that they've both been fairly uneven in camp. And so, in going into this season opening game, I think it's at least going to play itself out probably in the best way that it could potentially for the Bears related to the two QBs, because you do give Mitch this last opportunity, sort of his last stand to try and prove he can be the quarterback of the Bears' future, that he can take that proverbial next step. And if he doesn't, then at least you're not starting opening day with Nick Foles, because opening day Nick Foles has never been the best Nick Foles. That is not the best version of Nick Foles as an NFL quarterback, but off the pine, Nick Foles, now you got something to work with. Carson Wentz is injured, Nick Foles. All right, here he comes. This is a guy who looks like a franchise QB. Mike Vick gets hurt, Nick Foles. Whoa, look at this dude lighting up. We've never seen a touchdown interception ratio like this in our entire lives. Those versions of Nick Foles who don't have to take the field opening day, who have a starter who either struggled or got injured and then is thrust into the lineup, that's where you have your best opportunity to get the most out of the man who will apparently be the backup Bears quarterback here. So I think from that standpoint, it ends up working out as well as the Bears could hope, because I guess Mitch didn't do anything to lose the starting job to Nick Foles in camp. It doesn't necessarily sound like he lit it up to win the job, but he didn't do anything to lose it. And from there, now you don't have to start Foles opening day and hope that you get the best version of Foles you've ever seen as an opening day starter. You can start Mitch. Mitch gets his last crack at being the Mitch that Ryan Pace has hoped he will become. And if he doesn't, now you've got one of the better backup quarterbacks that we've seen in this generation of football to come in and hopefully save the day, as he's been able to do a couple of other times during his time as a Philadelphia Eagles quarterback. And an observation I was going to reference, because you put it in the text stream as well, and the Bears have put out their practice squad, so that's at least some information there. So sorry to cut you off, but we can reference that before we go to a break as well with the Bears practice squad. But I don't know how good your memory is, so I don't want to cut off your stream of consciousness if there's something you were going to reference there.
No, yeah, and we can get to the practice squad. There's one big name on there that I think it will be affecting opening day as far as the Bears are concerned. But to me, and I'll be quick with it, and it's just the fact that if you're really confident that Mitch had the upside and you really wanted to put him in a nice bubble, wouldn't it have shown in the personnel? And maybe it did with tight end, because I feel like tight end from an intellectual and read perspective is a critical part of Matt Nagy's offense. So we saw the devotion to tight end there in the offseason. That goes without saying. But to me, wouldn't you go after Fournette? Wouldn't you go after Adrian Peterson, who just signed with the Lions, because you're saying, we want you to have a safer time in the pocket. We want you to have a more pleasant time calling. We want the offensive line to not have to pass block so much, so you get a little more time in the pocket when you are asked to throw the ball. Or maybe it's an easier RPO for you by shoring up this issue with the injuries on the running back side? Like, wouldn't you have seen that? That's what concerns me is I don't know how much of the offense is predicated on the tight end having knowledge of the offense, and I think we're going to see that, and that's why you asked for Jimmy Graham. However, they could have done more from a roster standpoint at the running back spot to buy Mitch some time, at least in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a great observation, because especially the running back position where you reference some of the veterans out there, I suppose more proven commodities certainly than what the Bears have at the running back position right now on the roster, like Fournette, like Peterson. I mean, Peterson, future Hall of Famer at the position. But there's a guy who's on the Bears practice squad, like I referenced a moment ago. The Bears have named their full practice squad. Names that those of you out there haven't necessarily gotten to view yourselves in preseason games here yet. But a couple of guys who I think you would have legitimately been excited about. One of them especially, I've tweeted a bit about Artavis Pierce as a running back. And I think the fact that Pierce didn't end up making the final roster, and especially with the concerns those from the media who got to see David Montgomery go down with the groin injury, and just the way the Bears have addressed it publicly, you know, I suppose it would lead us to believe the fact that they didn't end up keeping Pierce, a talented young running back out of Oregon State, an undrafted free agent, but a guy who's got some game, a guy who I legitimately think, you know, if the Bears were playing in the preseason, he would have been one of these types of players that fans would have gotten really excited about, kind of like fans have gotten excited about Ryan Nall at different points in recent years here. Artavis Pierce, a former teammate of Ryan Nall's from Oregon State in college, he would have been an exciting guy to watch in the preseason, and it also would have made it more difficult for the Bears to have him available for the practice squad. I think a lot of Artavis Pierce. But he's a player that, with that running back group, it would seem to indicate, one, that the Bears are still legitimately excited about David Montgomery. He has been one of the players that they've praised most during this preseason process from their offense and what he's done, and, you know, trimming a couple of pounds. And I think just the overall understanding of how to run at the NFL level, that was one thing I talked about a lot last season. I wanted to see him continue to work at. And I think he got better at it as the year went on. But overall, the practice squad, before we go to break here, at wide receiver, Rodney Adams, at defensive line, Abdullah Anderson, quarterback, Tyler Bray, offensive line, Jamon Brown, defensive back, Xavier Crawford, wide receiver, Reggie Davis, defensive back, Stephen Denmark, tight end, Jesper Horsted, one of my favorite players from the Bears last season, wide receiver, Thomas Ives, defensive line, Lacole London, offensive line, Sam Mustipher, running back, Artavis Pierce, kicker, Kyrell Santos, linebacker, Rashad Smith, offensive line, Lechavius Simmons, and offensive line, Badara Traore. So that's the Bears' full 16-player practice squad that they've named, that they've announced. Some other things that some folks have been tweeting about, we will hear some audio from Bears head coach Matt Nagy in just a bit here, but it is official on Twitter at this point, where the Bears have named Mitchell Trubisky the starting quarterback. Matt Nagy has specifically said to the media that he won the job, and, you know, as I said a few moments ago here, that it didn't feel to me like, I mean, obviously you have to say the guy won the job, but it didn't feel like Mitch necessarily snatched the job from a performance perspective. But his approach to it does legitimately seem to have impressed the coaches, even if the actual productivity on the field was still uneven at times throughout camp. But he's going to get his crack. He's going to get the opportunity, especially to open the season against a Lions squad that he has seemingly been his most comfortable, his most confident against throughout his time as a Bears QB. You got Layla Rahimi and Anthony Heron here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. More football talk on the way. And like Layla referenced, we're going to have Lee Steinberg coming up. He of the mammoth contract, the historic deal that Patrick Mahomes signed with the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll have Lee coming up in a few minutes at the top of the next hour. But a little more Bears talk on the way. We'll take a timeout, then come back. Maybe a little more Bears. There's some things that I'm confident in, some things that I'm worried about related to the team going into this coming season. I want to dive specifically into some thoughts I have along those lines, and Layla does as well. You can get involved in the discussion with us if you would like to at 312-644-6767. You can call us that way, or you can text us using that same number, 312-644-6767. Layla is on Twitter at Layla Rahimi. I'm on Twitter at Big Ant Heron. This is Rahimi and Heron on The Score.
You guys are going to continue to write us off.
um, Well, until proven otherwise, that will probably be true. The voice of Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky, the man, he went out and won that job. He's the starter for the Bears a week from today when they travel to the Motor City, take on the Detroit Lions to open things up in the Bears NFL regular season. We will be watching that closely, of course. And as we do, as we head into that time, Layla and I were chatting a bit just about some concerns. Really, I've got a few things that I'm confident about and a few things I'm concerned about. And we'll have a couple hours throughout the remainder of the show to kind of come back to it as we're preparing to get a call from Lee Steinberg, super agent, to have a fun discussion with him at the top of the 3 o'clock hour here, Layla. But well, what do you think? Do you want to start with where we're concerned or where we're confident here?
No, I want to be worried first. Let's go with concern.
All right. So my first one I would list would be Matt Nagy's will. And we were kind of referencing this already a bit in the show, but Matt Nagy's willingness to call repeated run plays. And you know, what worries me a little bit with the David Montgomery injury, and then like you were saying, they don't go out and get Fournette or Peterson, is so now there's almost going to be perhaps an excuse going into the first game and how the offensive game plan is structured, because if Montgomery can't play, now you have Tariq Cohen, who he's not going to be a 15, 20 carry guy. You have Cordarrelle Patterson, which he is probably from a health perspective the most talented running back that would remain on the roster here at this point, but he is not necessarily a proven high-level NFL running back either. There's great potential there, and we've seen him, especially in New England, have some success at the position. But when it comes down to it, just Matt Nagy being willing to call run plays over and over again is something that concerned me a lot throughout the season last year, and I talked about it quite a bit on this station and elsewhere. And until proven otherwise, I will still be concerned about that. So that's probably that's the first concern I would list, you know, regardless of any other personnel issues that may be there. Just Matt Nagy actually formulating a run game plan and being willing to stick with it. That's probably a number one concern for me. What's one that stands out for you?
Yeah, that was actually, when we were commiserating our lists, that was my biggest concern. And it has been, if you've ever heard me go off about the Bears, it's just run the football. Like, just run the ball. Don't be one-dimensional. It sounds very easy. I'm sure everybody would love to run the football as much as they possibly can. But if teams key in on it and you don't have that option, you can't use it. But they should be able to use it. Third and one. One of the score listeners reminded me of this, and I forget what game where my head was exploding. It could have been many last season. But third and one should never be a passing down. I'm sorry. Just that is the best example I can give. Run the football. And to me, it's going to buy Mitch Trubisky that key amount of time. And you and I both know that a lot of those run plays, they didn't end up being run plays because they were predicated off of a run-pass option. Mm-hmm. But why would you put your quarterback, who you know needs practice in that area, in that position to begin with? And Nagy's not going to throw anybody under the bus. But all of that comes back to the idea of some significant part of this run game is deficient.
Right. And I think that for Matt Nagy, because he is this uber positive guy, just his personality kind of, you know, leans more towards the glass is half full than it is half empty. And with that in mind, I think there's a lens that he viewed Mitch Trubisky through going into last season. And then it seemed to take a while before he kind of recognized that Mitch wasn't necessarily the guy that, at least in execution, it's one thing to see all the capabilities, the physical traits, and the effort that Mitch puts into it. But the productivity just hasn't specifically been there consistently enough for Matt Nagy, in my opinion, to call the game, to call the offense in the way that he did pretty frequently last year. You know, to me, a prime example, like the Buffalo Bills have folks convinced that Josh Allen is a really good quarterback when he's really not. Like, I think Mitch Trubisky is a better quarterback than Josh Allen. I just think the Bills do an effective job of containing what they expose Josh Allen to, and then just calling the game in a manner that accentuates what he's really good at. Short yardage run plays, very controlled passing attack, things of that ilk, as opposed to saying, all right, here's the playbook, Josh, go get him from inside the pocket. That's not where he's going to carve anyone up. That's certainly not what Mitch was ready to do last year. So that really will be something that stands out to me. As far as the Bears, the overall squad, it will not only enhance the quarterback position and the productivity there, but it'll enhance the defense. I do believe that played a factor in what was some of the drop-off we saw on the defensive side of the ball with takeaways, with quarterback pressures, things of that sort. And there's certainly some things I feel confident about on the defensive side of the football that we'll be able to revisit later on in the show while we're here as we head towards the Cubs game that will be on national television. And, of course, here on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Big one tonight. Cubs haven't necessarily been rolling as of late. It's interesting, their record not all too different from the guys on the south side, though, but the perceptions of the direction for both these teams, very different right now. So we'll get into that a bit later in the show. But taking the time out here, coming towards the bottom of the first hour that Leila Rahimi and myself are here together, we're going to talk to one of the historic agent names out there, and the movie Jerry Maguire was based off of this individual. Very excited for a discussion we're going to have with Lee Steinberg on the other side of this timeout on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.